We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another BuzzBeat episode. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Richie, and I'll be going solo for a Substack mailbag episode. As always, you can check out our Substack chat by downloading the app or visiting buzzbeat.substack.com and just go ahead and submit and chat questions away there in the app. Or, can't remember that, just check out our notes to this episode, and the link will be there too. So, the Hornets lost Saturday night to the Hawks by a lot of points. I know this isn't a fully healthy Charlotte team, but the Hawks are far from 100% too. Trae Young was out. Jalen Johnson was out. Sadiq Bey was out. All three of those guys play heavy, significant minutes for Atlanta. And it was one of those games where you start to tune out around the second quarter, halftime, as the lead grew pretty quickly, and they couldn't get themselves out of that hole. DeJounte Murray for the Hawks had 28, 12, and 7. Bruno Fernando, the big, had his best game of the season, finished with 25 points and 6 rebounds. The one player of note was Miles Bridges for the Hornets, finishing with 27 points, as a lot of offense had to be run through him. And with that loss, the Hornets have mathematically been eliminated from playoff contention. So they are out of the playoff picture. If there was any kind of hope, mathematically, it no longer exists. We will not be chatting about the game today. I'm sure you guys probably will thank me for that. I'm not going to recap that game, but I'm going to get into some mailbag questions. We have been receiving quite a few mailbag questions from Substack, and we've had some really good ones lately. I will take one question today and address it for this full solo episode because it feels like it needs its own episode. And this one comes from Substack Reggie Helton. He says, please give three reasons why we should and why we should not bring back Miles Bridges. I honestly am torn. Thank you. Yeah, I think fans are torn on this situation, and I totally get it. I get the sense that some people think that maybe there shouldn't be a dialogue about this situation and that BuzzBeat are the only people talking about any kind of potential sign and trade with Bridges. But I can guarantee you that that's not happening. We aren't the only ones discussing it. We aren't the only ones pushing this conversation. It's an actual conversation being had among the Hornets base. And I'm positive too that it's also crossed the minds of the new owners and Jeff Peterson as well, as they weigh their options heading into the summer. Now, several episodes ago, I detailed the complications of a sign and trade with Miles Bridges, and I can revisit that real quick, but I'm not going to necessarily spend too much time on it as we get into my reasons as to why we should keep Miles or why the Hornets should move off of him. So the Hornets obviously can offer more than any other team out there in free agency because they have his bird rights. But because he's unrestricted, the Hornets don't have the ability to match any offer if Miles wanted to just go ahead and outright sign with another team. But Charlotte can get ahead of that and negotiate trades when the offseason begins, if they feel that's the direction that they want to go. But the complication comes into play when the Hornets sign Bridges and immediately trade him to another team. A couple of conditions need to be met for this situation to kind of take place, which they would in this hypothetical scenario. And it adds a hurdle to the teams that can be involved. The pool of teams just becomes limited. And the teams that would acquire him would need more of a cushion than one would think. That's why teams like Detroit, Utah, maybe Toronto, I'm sure there's others out there. I don't have the cap sheets in front of me in terms of projected space, but there are just a handful of teams that could potentially do this. And I'm sure there's even less that are interested in acquiring his services. But for trade matching purposes, Bridges' outgoing salary would be 50% of his new salary, meaning a team that would acquire him would only be able to send out a certain amount, even though that their team salary would take on and absorb Bridges' actual salary on their books. And that's why teams like Detroit, Utah, other teams that are have some flexibility would be the only ones that could make this work. So let's go ahead and get into the reasons. And I will start with the three reasons to keep Bridges. And I wanted to keep this mostly basketball related. So for each of these sides of the debate, I did two basketball reasons, one non-basketball reason. Because ultimately, the Hornets are a basketball team, but you know there's other considerations to look after. So I think some believe that me or anybody on BuzzBeat are trying to push this agenda of moving Miles Bridges, and somehow we have it out for him that we just want him, you know, off this team at any cost. And I can't speak for the other co-hosts, but that's not the case for me. I actually see some benefit in keeping Bridges, and I think that's why some fans are torn on this whole situation with him. And, you know, I'm not here to kind of toot my own horn, but I was one of the earlier ones among the Hornets community to start to highlight, you know, his improvement. And I think when you look at his most successful season, it was the 21-22 season. But I was looking back on my old post and some of the media that I put out there, the videos, the tweets, and all that type of stuff. I found a YouTube video. It's probably not the best produced YouTube video that I did a voiceover on back in July of 2021. So the summer prior to his breakout season, where I started to highlight some of Bridges' on-ball playmaking stuff. And that next season, that type of stuff just takes off even more, and I was there to spotlight it again. So I know that he's got talent. I know he's a talented basketball player. And to say that this debate is because, you know, I don't like Bridges, or I'm making a discussion out of nothing for whatever reason, like is totally false. You'd be hard pressed to find another writer, another blogger, another podcast host, another, you know, radio personality in the area, whatever, like that was pushing his agenda as a good player as early that I did. So things have changed, obviously, since then, and that's why this is a debate. And we have to live in the now and not live in the past. So let's get into the reasons to keep Bridges. And reason number one for me, he's one of the few guys that can play on the ball, play as a downhill driver with the ball in his hands. I'll preface this by saying that I don't think that that skill has showcased itself this season as much. It's definitely decreased, and I think by taking a year off, that probably has played a role in his lack of explosion on the ball and just kind of his comfortability like with that type of stuff. So maybe it gets back to where it needs to be or close to where it was in the 21-22 season. But those skills and that mold of a player have been displayed here before. He's got the combination of the athleticism, the power, the strength, the finesse. He's got a little bit of ball handling as well. And all that stuff, when you combine all that, he can get into the paint off the bounce and score at the hoop. And in the 21-22 season, before Bridges was obviously suspended for his domestic violence charge, he had 860 drives that year. And 68% of his points came on those types of possessions where he was a driver. He was also converting on 53% of his shots following a drive. And 860 drives, just to kind of put that in perspective, obviously it's not the greatest by any means, but it ranked 21st in the NBA and 20 players above him. Of those 20 players that were above him and the number of drives in terms of just pure volume, there were only four players above him that had better efficiency following a drive. Luka Doncic, DeMar DeRozan, Jalen Brunson, and Donovan Mitchell. So pretty good company there. Right now, he's around 600 drives, which, you know, the volume is basically there. He's shooting 48% on those driving looks. So the efficiency has dropped a bit. But, you know, he's still getting a good chunk of his points in that type of manner. So he was used as a ball handler a lot, and he was actually used out of the pick and roll as well, as a guy that handles the ball out of the pick and roll. I think the numbers have declined or did decline towards the tail end of that 21-22 season. I know I'm going to refer to that season a lot just because that was his best season, and this season it's hard to judge just based off of the fact that he's coming off a year where he did not play. But I found a post of mine back in February, I believe it was February of 2022, of that season where he was scoring 1.03 points per possession on over 100 ball handler pick and roll possessions. So a very good number for him, and especially from a forward and not necessarily a guard that you're used to. And I think the reason it worked, as I've talked about before, like I've mentioned, he was good at using his natural athletic abilities, his skills to get into the paint. And he was actually a very willing passer. And I think he can fit it into tight spaces. He can take chances at times, but it surprises people a lot the way that he can fit a basketball between two players and kind of on the run. I think that's something that gets overlooked and doesn't get enough credit for Miles Bridges is his passing. But I think he showcased it way more two seasons ago than he has this season. So I think with this reason, I think you're banking on him getting back to the point or close to the point that you kind of want him at on this team in terms of giving him the ball, as the primary ball handler every now and then, or giving him the ball on the second side. If your point guard is in foul trouble and he's having to play with the backup point guard for heavy minutes, and maybe the point guard is struggling to get things going, he has the ability to play on the ball. And we hope to see that moving forward. It was his biggest asset, and I maintain it's probably his biggest asset moving forward. He continues to be a guy that, as an offensive player, you could put the ball in his hands and you hope he does something with it. I think that's his biggest draw moving forward. And if he can regain that, I think that puts him in a spot to where he's more heavily prominent when everyone is healthy. I think when everyone's healthy and he doesn't have this skill, it's going to be hard to find a reason to give him the ball all that much.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Reason number two to keep Bridges is just his natural pairing with LaMelo. Some of their tendencies, some of his strengths, some of LaMelo's strengths, they just complement each other very well. We haven't really seen that pairing a ton this season, less than 300 minutes together. But, you know, that season that I keep referring to, 21-22, they played really well off of each other. And a lot of this is dependent on LaMelo's future health. But, you know, with the expectation that LaMelo comes back healthy for this team for the foreseeable future, like, the hope is that this pairing gets back to form. The action that you saw work so often with LaMelo and Bridges, it's not, you know, it's not just LaMelo driving and kicking to Miles in the corner and let Miles do something off of that pass. It actually worked really well when Miles was setting the screen for the ball handler for LaMelo. And sometimes Miles was at the five, which he played very well as the small ball five for stretches two seasons ago. Or it could just be with another traditional center. So it doesn't matter. You can use him as a screener, as the four, as the five. That action worked very, very well. And all those actions typically like ended in some kind of like lob to Bridges for alley-oops. It was fun to watch. Like, it was just highlights, you know, almost every night. And then there was this one action that Borrego ran for Bridges and Ball that I remember working plenty of times when JB was the coach. And I think it happened in the 2021 season, but also the 21-22 season as well. There would be a Ram screen set by Bridges. And what a Ram screen is when Bridges would set an off-ball screen, and whoever he was setting that off-ball screen, that guy, let's just say Hayward, or it could be anyone else, Hayward would go set a screen for LaMelo. And that's when the Ram action started. But then Bridges would go ahead and follow Hayward in this case and go set a ball screen for Melo himself. And Hayward would kind of do a ghost screen, get out of the action, get out to the weak side wing. And after Bridges would set that ball screen for himself, he would roll to the basket. And a lot of times it would end in a lob. And the reason this worked so well and the best part of this action was as Bridges was coming up to set that ball screen, there was an exit screen by the big on the baseline. And typically it was Rozier who was coming from the weak side corner, and he was clearing out to the strong side corner where, you know, LaMelo had the ball. And so what that would do was, as the guy was chasing Rozier on the baseline, that would leave this area of the court just wide open on the opposite side of the hoop where the lob would take place. So JB would run this a lot on after timeouts, but just kind of naturally in the flow of the game. And I know that Clifford's not as creative as JB, but the pairing here is just really what works. It was a fun pairing to watch. I think their strengths as basketball players complement each other really, really well. And when those two are healthy and on top of their games, they can constantly put pressure on the defense inside the paint because each player can break down their opponent. And Miles has got to return to that point. LaMelo's got to be healthy. And then when you run the two-man action with those two guys with the pick and roll and both are involved, it makes it twice as difficult. And it puts the defense in a pick-your-poison type of decision-making that they have to do. So I think that's reason number two, is just the natural pairing and how they complement each other with Ball and Bridges together on the court. And that is the hope. That's the hope that they return to that status that they had a couple seasons ago. All right, reason number three, like I said, is less of a basketball reason and more of a basketball operations type of move. And reason number three for me to keep Bridges this offseason would actually to give the team more flexibility moving forward. Now, you may think if Charlotte keeps Bridges that it would actually give them less flexibility. But what I mean is, if Charlotte wants to keep their options open, trading him later would actually give them more options. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the pool of teams is just limited this offseason with the sign and trade, with the base year compensation. So you wait till January 15th, your options open up. And so now you can use his actual salary. You don't have to worry about the 50% thing for matching purposes. And opposing teams can now send out more salary to clear the space for Bridges. And naturally, you just have more suitors out there. And maybe if you're targeting a specific player or a specific type of player, you have more options for that incoming salary from, you know, opposing teams. So this one feels less like a basketball reason to keep him around. And it's more of like a hedging your bet, a wait and see approach, because it's the best of both worlds. If you're in the camp that you would like to keep Miles Bridges and have no consideration for trading him, then maybe this reason doesn't make a ton of sense. But if you're in the camp that you want to keep him, but you're not totally ruling out the idea of moving on from him, which I feel like that's the prudent thing to do, like this could be a decent approach to kind of think of it this way. If he plays well enough to where he is getting back to his old self from two seasons ago, you now have him under contract. Or if he plays semi-well, but the team around him is just not gelling or things aren't meshing with his play style for whatever reason, or if there's other guys that are kind of jumping onto the scene and he becomes more quote unquote expendable and he's not needed for, you know, the season, you have the option of trading him with more, like I said, more suitors out there potentially that would want to get involved with Miles Bridges. So the three reasons I have for keeping Bridges are: number one, his on-ball skill as a driving playmaker, self-creator, creator for others. Number two, I would say his pairing with LaMelo Ball just seems to be enticing. And then number three, by signing him, you may, in effect, actually give yourself more flexibility and not less flexibility. Let's move on to the three reasons why Charlotte should move on from Bridges. And again, I'll give two basketball reasons and then one obvious non-basketball reason. And the first basketball reason I'd like to talk about is just the lack of processing speed on defense. I know all players on this roster have their downfalls and it's not going to be perfect, but this is something that has been an issue for him since he was a rookie, which was more understandable, but you haven't seen the jumps in that department and he's never fully put it together. And I honestly can't see it getting better. There's nothing that says to me that he's going to get better at that aspect of the game. He has all the physical tools to be a good defensive player, but it hasn't fully come around for consistent stretches. And I know that Clifford has praised him on multiple occasions this season for his effort. But, you know, effort takes you a long way on defense, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're being impactful. And I think effort, to me, when I think of effort on defense, I think that helps you more as an on-ball defender, where it's just one-on-one, you versus another guy. You're putting effort into stopping that guy, his path to the rim, taking away his options, which I would claim he is a better on-ball defender than he is an off-ball defender, but that to me is just all relative. His off-ball deficiencies stand out. He ball watches too much. He isn't aware of some of the off-ball cuts that are taking place on the baseline. He doesn't always understand the correct angle to take. He doesn't always understand if he needs to go over or under a screen, or if he does know whether to do that, it takes him a half a second too long, and it puts the team defense, you know, steps behind where they need to be. And it often directly leads to a basket at the rim, which is obviously, you know, especially if there's no resistance on the backside, it's one of the most productive and efficient shots in all of basketball. And so we talk all the time about the Hornets needing individual players, individual defenders, and by no means is he the only issue on defense. But I think, you know, at least if you have team concepts and you don't lack that, you're not having these off-ball lapses, you're not going to hurt a overall productive defensive possession. So if you have a team that defends well for 15, 20 seconds, and then something happens, goes wrong in the last 5 seconds because you're allowing your own man to go backdoor. And we just see that happen throughout the course of his career, whether it's the first 5 seconds or the last 5 seconds of a possession. So I think that's something that I can't totally see getting too much better on that end. So when you have him out there, that's something that you're going to have to like naturally kind of give up and account for. And so I think some people think that I nitpick that aspect of his game, but I promise it's not anything new. And this season it's happening too, but it's not the only time that it's happened. And, you know, I wish it would have gotten better. Maybe there were some stretches a couple seasons ago where it got better, but not anything consistently. All right, reason number two as to why the Hornets should move away from him is that he's lost a step athletically. And I know I talked about in the reasons why to keep him, like his athletic ability and how that works for him. And maybe it can come back, maybe it doesn't. I think that's the one defining quality when he came into the league. It wasn't the only quality, but that was the one defining quality when you thought of Miles Bridges was his athleticism. And I think we've seen this season how much that has tailed off. He just doesn't pop off the screen like he used to. These highlight plays, dunking over guys, getting up off the floor. It just doesn't seem like he gets up off the floor as fluidly, as easily. And those highlight dunks like just seem to be a thing of the past. So when I mentioned earlier about that pairing with Ball, maybe that never lives up to those expectations from a couple seasons ago, because if he lost a step and loses that bounce, it kind of takes away some of their complementary skills that they have together. And obviously athleticism isn't everything when it comes to a player, but a lot of what he does well, or what he did do well a couple seasons ago, was predicated on his ability to get to the rim and finish. And a lot of that was because of not only his skill, but because of his athleticism and his power. And so when you pair those together, it made it much easier for him to do that stuff. And so you're seeing that less this season. You're seeing him break down the defense less with his handle. He tries it sometimes, but a lot of times you see him pull up for a mid-range shot, which volume-wise, like just go look at the statistics. Like that proves my point. He's settling. And it's not in a way that like Brandon Miller gets his shots from the mid-range, where Miller might probe the defense, weave, keep his defender on the back. And, you know, Miller knows that right now he's not a guy that's going to finish like over people and through people at the rim. So if he sees a guy that takes a couple of steps back, or if the big is in drop, he knows that he has the mid-range game. It seems as if Miles Bridges is not the opposite, but he's definitely settling, and they aren't going in at a rate where you feel confident that that's going to be a part of his game, you know, moving forward from an efficiency standpoint. And that's just not a spot on the court where historically that he's had a ton of success as a pull-up mid-range shooter. So can he regain that athleticism? I'm sure he can. I'm sure there's ways that he can work with the trainer. I'm sure there's a way that that gets back, or at least some of it back. But if that does go away, you almost wonder how replaceable he becomes. You know, could you trade him this offseason for a couple of guys and just kind of take your chances on one of them hitting and kind of filling that lower usage role? Because I don't necessarily have a problem with Miles Bridges on, you know, on certain occasions where he has games where he's higher usage. If he can play with the ball in his hands and use his athleticism and his power and his skill. But it's when he doesn't have this athleticism and he's trying to take on the world and he's settling for shots and, you know, kind of chucking away, that's when the higher usage Miles Bridges kind of shows up, and that's when it becomes negative. So, you know, it's hard for me to envision Miles Bridges as a spot up shooter from the corner. You know, I think maybe that happened his rookie season, but you know, ever since his second season, you started to see him play with the ball in his hands a little bit more frequently. And it worked, like I said, a couple seasons ago. But this season, because he's lost his bounce and his step, it feels like to me that aspect of his game like won't fully get back until he has that. I think with the physical aspect of Miles Bridges, I've already mentioned the processing on defense. And that's something that he has to overcome. So when you combine the physical attributes dropping and the processing in the mental part is already at a lower rate than maybe some of the other guys on the roster. And so those things start to fade on the offensive end, on the defensive end. Like then you have a player who has multiple things to overcome. So if that athleticism doesn't get back and it's kind of stagnant the way that it is this year, I do wonder how effective he can be, or his role just has to change slightly for him to be a guy that is important to this roster. But it's kind of hard to see that if you're going to sign him for a sizable contract. And lastly, the final reason to move on from Bridges is the off-the-court troubles. I think this is the most obvious reason. I did not want to spend three different reasons on this specifically, but employing Miles Bridges with the domestic violence charges on his record is a decision that the organization will have to constantly live with and you know, constantly deal with. You are ultimately like sacrificing morals to try and win ball games. And I think with the way that the Hornets have been playing, it's not even resulting in wins. And obviously there's a lot of factors, a lot of things that go into the way that they have performed this season. And Miles Bridges has been pretty consistent in terms of his overall health. So he's not one to blame, but the health has been an issue. And he's a guy that, like, you know, can he be a piece on a playoff team, a number three, a number four? Of course. But if you're keeping him, like I said, to a sizable contract, maybe the expectations are a little bit higher and you demand a little bit more out of him this offseason and moving forward. And I think it's just an optics thing. You sign this guy to a sizable contract, you're expecting him to do the right things on the court. You're expecting him to do the right things off the court, say the right things, change that public perception of him. It's one thing if he gets signed, you know, for $12 million and he's on a team that's a playoff contender where he kind of is the fifth or sixth guy and he's not the face of the franchise. Not that he's the face of the franchise for the Hornets, but he's definitely more prominent. He's more up there. And that's one thing that I do wish with him, like he doesn't have to do this by any means, but one thing that I do wish that was more along the lines of this public perception is that you see these acts of service, you know, that at least on the surface shows that he's trying to change the way people view him. And, you know, second chances are second chances. I'm all for second chances, but there's something about him being a top three, a top four player on this specific team that has not been as successful that makes it look worse in my eyes. If he was a sixth man on this team where this team was performing very, very highly and Bridges himself wasn't in the limelight as much, then I think the optics of it look better. Whether that's right or wrong, I think, you know, the expectations for him, for a guy that is going to be signed to a contract that feels like it could be pretty significant, the expectations go up both on the court and off the court. So that is reason number three to kind of move on for him. And I'm going to recap real quick as the case to keep him, the case to move on from Bridges. So the Bridges thing in terms of keeping him, my three reasons, I would love to hear your reasons as well. My three reasons for keeping Bridges: I think his skills as an on-ball creator, which is lacking on this roster, is sorely needed. I think he has that in him. He showed it several seasons ago. Number two, I think his pairing with LaMelo Ball is something that you can't overlook. They complement each other. And I think moving forward, if they can get back to that stage of their, you know, synergy, it's going to be good. Three, it actually gives them more options down the road and more time to decide on his future. So it kind of just kind of pushes the decision, you know, 3 months, 4 months down the road, and you make your decision from there. The reasons I mentioned for moving on from him are, number one, I think the lackluster off-ball defense and showing no real signs of improvement there is number one for me. Number two, I think his lack of burst and athleticism that has been showing itself this year has been affecting his overall impact, his overall game. And if it never gets back to where it was, or at least close to where it was, I think that trend will continue. And then number three, the most obvious one, is the off-the-court issues. I think that's just too much to overcome for what he is providing both on the court and both in the community outreach. I think, like I said, I don't care if he does it, but if he's going to be signed to this sizable contract and if he wants to change the perception of him, I think maybe being more visible. I don't know how the Hornets PR team does that or if it's something that he does. he wants to take the initiative on, but I think becoming more visible in the community, I think will go a long way with changing that particular perception. I think some people are stuck in their decision and the way that they view him, which is totally fine. I don't blame anyone for that, but I think that would be a step in the right direction for Bridges. So yeah, even though I lean a certain direction on this specific conversation, I do think that I am torn. I do think it's something that people can have a debate over. It's not a clear-cut answer. I think the conversation is definitely worthy of having, and I definitely appreciate Reggie for sending this in, and I know we aren't the only ones that are debating this specific topic. So thanks again for listening to another BuzzBeat episode. If you like what we do, give us a rating on Spotify. Give us a written review on Apple that we can read on an upcoming episode. I enjoyed doing that the other episode. Those two reviews that came in. We have more Substack questions queued up for future episodes, and we may treat those like a separate episode like this one. So we truly appreciate everyone's participation in the Substack chat. We will talk to you guys later. And I do want to get at least one more post-game episode before the season wraps. It's always difficult finding the specific game to do, and predicting which game would be a fun one to watch and recap live. So we will talk to you later. Take care. Go Hornets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.